Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 20th year now bringing these broadcasts to you. And we thank the Lord for this radio station. And we thank the Lord for all the prayers, the support, and for you, the listener, and for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. If this is your first time listening today, we hope you enjoy the broadcast and come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about part three in a sermon series called Great Faith. And we've been talking about the aspects of faith and all the foundations of our Christian faith and what it means to walk in faith, what it means to put your faith to work. And so today we're going to be looking at two Old Testament characters, two Old Testament people who expressed and exhibited great faith. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the lesson today, want to just give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. And we have started on our school project. We're digging the septic hole, the septic system. Right now, we've got a big hole. It's about 12 feet deep and 20 by 12. And then we'll have a sock pit. They call it a sock pit. It's like a drain pit, tile drain field. And so we're embarking on that. Then we'll get into the foundations and the other aspects of the building. It's going to require about $200,000 to $300,000 to do this project, and we're believing in faith. So I'm preaching to myself today, and this is going to be a project of great faith. So if you'd like to help support this project, it's going to be a school for the Makunda children, the primary children of Makunda Village, grades 1 through 8, and a preschool to go with it. So if you think you could support that project, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. If you have any questions about it, want to talk about it with me, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. So today we're going to be talking about great faith. This is part three, and we started in Hebrews chapter 11, which is where we're going to go today. Hebrews chapter 11 is the roll call of faith, and it's a great chapter. You should read it and apply it to your life. Let it encourage you in whatever God has called you to do in your life. Let it encourage you, because every single believer, every single person who is born again, you are being called to do something great for the kingdom of God. God doesn't leave us alone. He puts the Holy Spirit within us. When we become born again, then we have the Spirit of the living God residing within us, and that Spirit will constantly prompt you, that Spirit will constantly counsel you and give you insight and give you prophetic vision of things to come for the kingdom of God. And so that's why you can't just sit pat, you can't sit in a neutral. You're either going forward in the kingdom of God or you're going backwards. And if you're just sitting in a church week after week, praise God for that. I hope you're in church week after week. But if you don't have anything that the Lord is speaking to you about and stirring up within you and lighting a fire within you, if that's not happening, then you're not answering to the call of God in your life. And so God's going to put ideas in your mind. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, maybe about joining a mission group, a short-term mission. Maybe it's even to go long-term and go to another country, live there, become a missionary. Maybe it's to start a Bible study. Maybe it's to start a ministry of your own there in the USA. However the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you build your faith through obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because once you are obedient in any aspect that the Lord gives you to be obedient, if you are obedient to that call, then you've crossed that bridge, that faith bridge, to that greater work for the kingdom of God. You've crossed that faith bridge, and you don't have to go back and cross that bridge again. And so God will continue to put bigger things in front of you, greater works for the kingdom of God. He'll call you higher. He'll call you higher. And as you're obedient, then the call gets bigger. It gets higher. And you can then do great exploits for the kingdom of God. And that's where the title of today's message comes from, Great Faith. And we're going to look at two of the Old Testament characters. They were both exhibiting great faith, and that's why their names are listed in the roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And so we're going to look at that definition again. For those of you who haven't been with us the last couple of weeks, we're going to look at that definition of faith, Hebrews 11, verse 1. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So faith is a substance. Every single person is given a measure of faith. It's small, according to a couple of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Faith substance is small. It can fit inside of a mustard seed. And so if you have the faith of a mustard seed, Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, mountain, move from here into the sea, or move from here to there, and it shall happen. It shall move into the sea, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Well, of course, that is providing that what you're praying for, or what you're hoping for, what you're hoping to see is within the will of God. Some people pray outside the will of God. They're just praying selfish prayers. They're just praying for things that really aren't of concern to God. And so you have to do your prayers. You have to do your exploits within the will of God. That is His plan for your life. And so the Holy Spirit then will guide you into the truth of all things. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, when He speaks to you, He will take of mine, take of Jesus, and He will give it to you, and it will lead you into the truth in all things, yes, even things yet to come. And so you can start to picture, and you can start to envision, and you can start to listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you about things yet to come, and therefore you have creative attributes. Attributes to create on this earth, create works, create ministries, create worship music, create all kinds of projects that bring glory and honor to God. And that is because the Holy Spirit will give you vision of things yet to come. Well, in Hebrews 11, 7, it starts talking about Noah. I believe the Apostle Paul here writes this book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 7. Paul says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Well, that sentence says faith has the word faith in it twice. And again, let me repeat, by faith Noah. Noah didn't have anything else to go by except God had given him instruction to build this ark. And Noah, by faith, he stepped out, he built this ark, took him over 100 years. He built this ark only because God had shown him, probably in a vision, I would say, God took him. There's also written instruction in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. There's written instruction. But also, I'm sure God probably took him in a vision and showed him the dimensions, showed him how he wanted to build this ark over a 100-year period of time. I'm sure Noah had a few questions about the construction, and also he had no prior knowledge of rain. He had no prior knowledge of a flood. He had no prior knowledge of how this was going to happen, how this much water was going to happen. He had no prior knowledge of how all these animals were to be gathered and put into the ark. And so all of these things, Noah stepped out in faith. He did it by faith. And so he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives went into the ark, by which he condemned the world. And so by his faith, he condemned the world because the world didn't believe that it was important to get in the ark. The world didn't believe it was important to be righteous. So therefore, he condemned the world by his actions. He condemned the world by his faith. And the Lord rewarded his faith, or the Lord was true to his promise when he told Noah there's coming a great flood, there's coming big rain. And so the Lord was true to his promise, and it happened just like the Lord said that it would. And so he condemned the world, and he became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Well, you'll see that phrase, heir of righteousness, basically means he inherited salvation. It's basically the same phrase that is spoken of later about Abraham. We're going to look at that here in just a little bit. Basically the same phrase, heir of righteousness, basically means Noah received salvation. Talking about Abraham, Paul says in the book of Romans, Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so that credited to him as righteousness also means he inherited salvation by faith. Well, you may ask, how did they receive salvation if Jesus had not gone to the cross? Jesus had not shed his blood yet for these Old Testament people. Well, it happened because the blood of Jesus can go backwards, or did go back to the beginning of time, back to the time of Adam, and the blood of Jesus goes forward in time. Because it knows no bounds in time, the blood of Jesus goes forward. And here we are in 2025, and those who believe are credited with righteousness. They become heirs of righteousness. And so those who believe and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior here in 2025, they also inherit eternal salvation. And so we see that Noah was obedient. Few other noteworthy facts about Noah. Noah's father Lamech lived 777 years. That's the number of perfection, 777, three times the number of perfection. That was Noah's father. And Genesis 6:8, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so Noah was perfect, blameless in his generation. He was not perfect in such that he was sinless, but it says he was found blameless or mature. He was a man of integrity. He was a just man. And so God chose him because he was not corrupted in his flesh as all the other people on the earth were. Noah and his family, Noah and his wife, his three sons, their wives were not corrupted in their flesh as all the other people on the earth were. And so you have to understand that the earth was so corrupt that it had penetrated every single person on the earth. This corruption, the alteration of their genetic code, the alteration came through perversion, the alteration came through evil things, evil concoctions, evil potions, evil all kinds of sexual immorality, sexual perversion, and it had come to the place where it had altered the genetic code of the people who were on the earth to the point where they could not inherit salvation, to the point where they were not pure souls, they were not purely human. Their genetic code had been altered to the point where they were not purely human, and they could not then be saved because they had a soul that was so defiled and so polluted that they could not inherit salvation. Well, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, or blameless in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And that is a phrase, Noah walked with God, spoken the very same way about Enoch, spoken of in Genesis 5, Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so Enoch walked so closely with God, he was so blameless, that God took him without seeing death. And so Noah also walked with God. He was perfect or blameless in his generation. And so God saw him, God chose him and his family. And so God then gave instructions in detail to Noah, and he gave him instructions to build the ark, and it was for the preservation of the perfect blood, or the preservation of the perfect blood, which would be handed down to Jesus Christ. Jesus had to have perfect, precious blood to go to the cross for us. He had to be blameless, and he was sinless. His father, of course, was the Holy Spirit. His mother was the Virgin Mary. And so Jesus was blameless also in his generation. He was perfect in his generation, and he was also sinless. And so because he had been handed the perfect line of blood through Noah's three sons, and so that then became the foundation of the human race after the flood. Well, Genesis 6:13, God gives instructions, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them along with the earth." So God says, I'm going to destroy all the people, and there were millions. There weren't just a few. There were millions of people on the earth at that time. And God says, I'm going to destroy them and everything else on the earth, all the animals, everything else that lives on the earth. And so God said in verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And then it goes on to give explicit instructions. And as I said before, I believe Noah was most certainly given visions, taken maybe to heaven, and given explicit visions and instructions on how to build this ark. You can actually go see the ark in Kentucky. A man named Ken Ham, his ministry has built an exact replica of the Ark of Noah. And so someday you may want to go see that and just see what a massive, magnificent structure this ark was. And Noah was faithful to build it as God had directed him. And so Noah's faith was built and encouraged and strengthened. When you step out, just as Noah did, when you step out in faith and start to build or start to create, start to do something that brings glory and honor to God, when you step out in faith and do that, God is going to lead you. He'll reward you. He'll strengthen you every day that you build on that faith. Your faith gets stronger. It gets bigger. It gets greater in its ability to do works for the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to shift over to Abraham, because in Hebrews 11:8, Apostle Paul starts talking about Abraham. He says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham went out knowing not where he was going, but he knew he was going to be part of a construction project that had heavenly origins, heavenly foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that's talking about Jesus Christ, builder and maker of all creation, builder and maker of all the ministries of Jesus Christ. And so if you're building on the foundation of God, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, your building will not crumble, and what you will do will stand. What you will do will stand the test of time. What you will do will stand the storms that the devil brings against you. And when you build for the kingdom of God, you're storing up for yourself treasures in heaven, you're storing up for yourself that eternal reward, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, all those things then become part of your inheritance. And just as Abraham was looking for his inheritance, his nation, so too you will receive your inheritance when you step out and you build for the kingdom of God. Well, verse 12 in Hebrews 11, it says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And so Abraham went into this far country. When he got to the land of Canaan, God stopped him there and said, this is your place, this is your home, this is your inheritance right here. And God took him out one night and showed him the stars in the sky and says, your inheritance is going to look like the stars of the sky. It will be as innumerable as these stars, as innumerable as the sand of the seashore. And so this was the place where God took Abraham and showed him, this is your land. Well, we know now, of course, this is the land of Israel. And so this is the place where God brought the children of Israel, brought them out of Egypt, brought them back into this land, and they took on the tribes of the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites, all the tribes that were in the land of Israel, the land of Canaan at that time. Well, you can see today, as we look at the landscape today, this is where Israel, the nation of Israel, is at, and the enemy is still trying to destroy. The enemy is still trying to come against Israel, take that land from them. The country of Iran, every so often, makes a proclamation they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And so keep your eyes open to what's going on in the Middle East, because you're going to see Iran humbled in the next few weeks, in the next few months. You're going to see Iran humbled because they know they're very vulnerable, because we have a new commander-in-chief in town, and he is very serious about defending Israel, and he's serious about humbling Iran and taking away their threat to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Genesis 12, verse 1, then the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God encouraged Abram to go out. God may be encouraging you to go out. Right now, I want to tell you just a little story. 2010, God gave me a dream. In the spring of 2010, God gave me a dream and showed me he was opening up the door for me to come to Africa. I had no idea where. I had no idea what country. There's 50-some countries in Africa, over a billion people on this continent. I did not know even one of them. And God showed me a dream. I was standing on a platform holding my Bible up in my right hand. In my left hand, I had a bag, a white bag, and it said on the front of the bag, Revelation 22, and the bag was filled with big ears of maize. God was showing me he was going to put provision in my bag so I could go out and preach the word of God in Africa. Behind me on the platform was a big grain silo, big round silo filled to the very top with ears of maize, and God was showing me that that provision would be there for me whatever I went to Africa, whenever I went out to preach, that provision would be there for me, and he would provide that provision and allow me to go, and he would continue to put it in the bag. And so that was the provision and the message that he wanted me to give. In front of me were thousands and thousands of black African people, and between me and those people were 40 inmates, people who were intercessors. God had appointed intercessors for me, red hats and blue shirts, intercessors from the prison where I was preaching. And so God laid everything out in a vision to me, and he showed me this is what I want you to do. This is where I'm opening the door. And I had no idea where I was going. And so I was a little bit like Abraham at that point. And he may do this to you. God may do this with you, send you out, show you a place he wants you to go, show you a mission he wants you to go forth and carry on that mission. And so be ready, pray about it if he shows you, because he will bring it to pass. And so just as God brought it to pass in my life, shortly after I received that vision, I got a call from a friend in Florida, said, Jim, we're going to Nairobi, Kenya. We're going to preach a crusade there and preach in churches, go around Nairobi preaching, going to visit orphanage, going to visit children's homes. And so do you want to go? We need a preacher to go with us. So that was the answer to that vision. God opened the door for me to go to Kenya and preach the word of God. Well, Abraham received Romans chapter 4, verse 22. It says, therefore, it was accredited to him for righteousness, or given to him for salvation. And Abraham received, he stepped out in faith, and the righteousness that he received is also for us. It says in Romans 4:24, it wasn't just for Abraham, but it was also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And so when you exercise your faith, you step out in faith. Salvation is an exercise in faith. Believing in God is an exercise of faith. And so when you do that, it will be credited to you as righteousness, and you will inherit eternal salvation. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. Thank the Lord for all the many years. And we would invite you today to come alongside this ministry. Help us build this school here in Kenya. Help us with keeping this radio broadcast on the air. Help us to do all the things, the children's home, the church, everything we have going here in Kenya. We want to have you partner with us and help us to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and we would appreciate you coming alongside us this day. Our contact information, you can send a check to Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. If you want to use your debit card or credit card, go to paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. You can also go to GatherTheOutcast.com and make a donation with your debit or your credit card. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao, and see pictures of what we're doing over here in Africa. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.